Hi, everybody. Just a little announcement before we get started. I'm Donna Cease. I'm Spiritual Program Coordinator at Kadampa Center. And I just want to say this is really a special treat for us. Hey, Manda, I'm going to embarrass you. we're just really, really happy to welcome into our group of Discovering Buddhism teachers, Hemant Pandya. Hemant started at Kadampa Center about 10 years ago, I think. And he started in with Discovering Buddhism and just really dived in, always very enthusiastic, very actively involved in, many parts of the, center. And he's on our board of directors. He's president of the board of directors right now, but, he's just, this is his first time teaching DB, so be kind to him, but I know he's going to be wonderful, and he has lots of insights to bring, and you'll be seeing him for other modules down the road, and let's just all really welcome him. Thank you.
This is the night of announcements. It's the first one in the module, so we all get up here and say hello. Hey. My name is Jill Marie, so I'm the center manager here, and I started in DB with Hemant, so it's really special that we're here together, both in having some leadership roles. It's exciting that we went through this path together, and now we're all taking a bigger piece. So in 10 years from now, one of you is going to be sitting there. Isn't that shocking? You wouldn't think, he probably didn't think he'd be sitting here. So just think about that. Yeah. for the future DB teacher. So I just go over a couple of little tidbits of information. One thing I forget a lot about is just saying that the center is open. Sometimes I really forget to remind you that the center is open all week long. Hey, while I'm working. And so you're welcome to come in and meditate and use the center, shop in the bookstore, of course. Use the library and have lunch here on Fridays at noon if you have a kind of schedule that allows. Sometimes Gary buys, sometimes he doesn't. We have lunch bunch, and it's a lot of fun. We just hang out. Craig comes sometimes. And just whoever comes, if I don't even have lunch, I get to grab a pack of crackers and eat with you. So whoever walks in the door, I have lunch with, and it's a nice time. And then the other things I think we forget about is yesterday someone reminded us that he didn't even know how to receive information from us. And we just think it's obvious, but it isn't if you've never been here before. So if you want to receive our emails on the concierge desk under His Holiness, there's a sign-in for emails. You can go to the community tab on the website and sign up for our emails, and then you'll sort of get in the flow of things. It'll show you how to sign on to the online community if you want to get more emails. And so that any questions, you can call here and just ask us. Amanda and myself will help you. And what's the last thing? Yes. So these classes are all offered on a donation basis, which many of you have heard many, many times. But it is kind of shocking that we do this, and we've done it since... Maybe they started out charging in like 91 or something, but then they stopped. They decided they wanted to be donation basis. So everything you see here today, it may not sound like much, but it's all done only with volunteer effort and donations. So it's, and we just keep going and going and going. So this year we're looking at a particularly tight budget. So as we approach 18, so when you think about coming to a class, other classes, other places may charge. So if you feel moved to donate, there's two boxes. And then you can go online, you can text give. There's little slips how to text give if you want to take that home with you and see how to do that. And other than that, that's all I've got. Next up is Aaron, and then we actually will let you teach tonight. Thank you.
We're talking fast. It's like 7:02. So coming up at the center, on Friday is a holy day, so check out this. And if you want to come by the center to practice, like Jill said, it's open to practice in general, but in addition, there's a Medicine Buddha Puja that night. On Saturday from 9 to 4 is a meditation practice day. So this is a new thing that we're doing that is, it's me, but me as a fellow student facilitating the FPMT meditations that go along with one of the DB modules. So we're starting with how to meditate. So we're going to do 6 different sessions, meditation sessions. There's more information online, but we're going to kind of do it as a group practice, and we can at least do the beginning module ones together. So it's equivalent of the intensive practice day for that module. And each module has some intensive practice that they require. So we can check this one off our list. Or if you're not even doing that, it's still a good day to come and practice and just take the day, be peaceful, have the sessions, you know, just peace and quiet and practice. So if you are free this Saturday, please join me. There is a registration online, so you don't have to do that, but it's going to help us track things. So this is the handout that you have at the beginning of every class. So if you've been coming to these modules, this looks familiar, but if you haven't, it gives you the readings and books. The readings are available online, and these two pictures down here are how to get to the online information. So we'll be talking about the stuff that's online. Go look at that. Books for this class. One book is not just for this class. It's Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand, and it's a Lamrim book, and it has lots and lots of things in it. And we read different sections of it for the different modules, depending on what we're studying. This tiny book is also for this class. And there's also PDF versions of this online. So the rest of it is available online. Integration practices is the next section on this handout. And that is the kind of retreat or big practice day that goes along with every module. The one we're doing this Saturday is for a different module because we're starting with some easier ones. But so make a note of that for later. And then on the back, it talks about watching this class online and an email if you miss something. And then you can kind of track what you're doing because you'll want to remember what homework you did or what meditations you did. And then at the end, you can have a completion card and you can turn it in if you want. For those of you who are listening, streaming, I haven't posted this yet. I just realized, but I will post it today so that you can access this handout online. Any general questions? I think Jill said my name is Erin. My name is Erin. I'm the assistant for all the DB modules, so I'll be here for everyone. We have different teachers for each module, but hopefully I'll be able to offer some consistency among all the modules. And we are going to meet after class at from 8:30 to 9:45. We just typically have a little bit of a discussion. It's pretty informal. Hemant might join us this time. And then we might be able to get some actual, like, good information. Maybe ask some real questions that are just burning questions for us. And that is it. We are handing it over to you.
Okay. Hi. All right. Okay. All the butterflies are out now. Okay, so before we do anything, we see people doing three prostrations. So since this is the module number 8, establishing daily practice, so I'll start by talking about what is a prostration. So you guys may have learned, some of you already know this, but it's important to know that why you see some people bowing down. What is the purpose of it? Why do we do it? It is not necessary that you do it, but it is the way of showing respect. So I'll take these headphones off, but if you feel like bowing down with me, we'll take one at a time, and we'll talk it out, okay? So just to give you a little preface, so when you go on the top like this, what that really represents is when the Buddha had the Buddha potential to become a Buddha, he developed so many positive mindsets. So he has this little pinnacle on top, okay? Then your hand comes up here. And remember, here, towards your neck, and towards your heart. The three things in Buddhism you'll hear a lot, body, speech, and mind. And each has an association with, for example, when you go here, up here to here, you're thinking about your body. So there are virtuous actions and non-virtuous actions. I don't know if you guys have gone through karma classes, but you know, good things and bad things we do, of body, speech, and mind. And, you know, killing, sexual misconduct, lying. You would say that's the non-virtuous action of your mind. So then you're thinking here, you're coming in, thinking about the body, and you see this white light come to you from Buddha or whatever deity you happen to believe in. But it's all about your mind and getting purified. And then even you come to the neck, it's the non-virtues of the speech are, the karmas are taken away from you. Basically, it's purifying the speech karma. When you come to the heart, so when you talk about speech, if you talk about divisiveness, if you talk about idle speech, right, gossip, that kind of stuff, right? And then you come to the heart. You talk about covetousness, jealousy, wrong views, that kind of stuff. So when you're doing this, you are doing a couple of things. You're purifying yourself. You're showing respect to the teachings of the Buddha. So when you come inside and you see people just go real quick like this, or you see Lama Zopa Rinpoche or Geshe-la, they take their time, they go to the altar, they take a look, they actually absorb that. You may not even realize that value in that little bowing down, and then he sits down and everybody bows down. How much goes on in your mind just doing just three prostrations? So if you're thinking about developing any kind of practice, I think you should think about every time you come in, either bow down. If you can't, you can have a physical problem or you don't feel like bowing down. I just want to take the notion out that sometimes in our mind when we think about bowing down, we think about, why should I be bowing down to statues? Why should I bow down to anybody? We have that strong sense of I, independence, so we feel that way. But it is about respecting and humbling yourself. All right. So with that, you're going to do three times, and you're going to say Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttamashriye Soha. Okay, it's basically saying I bow, I pay homage to Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha. And each word has a different meaning: the glorious one, the noble one, that kind of stuff. But the idea is Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, the triple gem. All right. So if you don't mind, we can start by just doing those three prostrations. And if you don't feel like doing it, just be seated and be respectful. Now you can do half prostrations, and you can do a full prostrations, okay? And think about that beautiful white light coming to your head, the red light coming and purifying your throat, speech, and then the blue light coming to your heart and purifying your mind, okay? Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttamashriye Soha. See you. Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttama Sriye Soha. Om Namo Manjushriye, Namo Sushriye, Namo Uttama Sriye Soha. Thank you. So that's the beginning of the practice. Okay. Just a small little, one more little item that I would like to cover for prostrations and bowing down. Your thumbs are inside. Your palms are like this. Think of it like you're offering a jewel. Am I at the wrong place? Yeah, okay. Thank you. So you're thinking about a jewel in your hand. Then the empty space around it, think of emptiness. Think of, you may have heard the word emptiness. Okay, it's the wisdom. You're just offering it. So it's important how you fold your hands, what you're thinking about, and just by doing those three prostrations, how much impact it makes on your mind, the purifications you do, the respect you show, so you're already softening your mind to accept the teachings or dharma. So that's why we do three prostrations. So with that, what we're going to do is bring your mind here. We're going to do a short meditation, okay? You're going to come down here. You're going to think about now your present moment. You could have gone so many places tonight, but you decided to come here. And so we're going to just kind of do a little quick calm-abiding meditation, and that's going to lead into motivation. Okay, so At this point, everybody who has been here, before I go and do this, let me ask a quick introductions of people, because there are people here who are either very serious students of DB, some people are new, so I don't want to be talking either too much advanced or too basic. So if you just take 1 minute and just say your name and if you've been to a class before or is this your first time, that would be very helpful to me.
My name is Sam Taylor. I've been to some classes before, but I missed some classes too.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Doris Taylor, and I come with my son occasionally, and find it very interesting.
My name is Claudia Chosa, and this is my first time here.
Oh, Claudia, thank you.
My name is Greg Swazer. I've been coming here for a while. Most recently, I'm trying to fill the meditation, the Buddhist Minashal requirement by attending all 14. Session,
Modules.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Guillermo. I started taking the Discovering Buddhism since module one.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Patty Pandya, and I took my first DB class. Gee, I think it was in 2010, so it's been a long time, and I'm so happy to be here today to hear this one again.
My name is Kevin, and this is second time around on Discovering Buddhism.
My name is Scott Dickerson, and I'm on my third time around. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I've been to the Kadampa Center many times, but this is my first time in this class.
I'm Donna. I'm lurking.
I'm Rachel. I go to Meredith, and this is my first time in a class, but we have visited once before.
I'm Ava. I'm also from Meredith, and the same. Yeah.
I'm Chase. I started on module one.
I'm Eric. This is my second module. I actually started midway through the course with the death and rebirth class.
Hi, I'm Marley. This is my first time at this center.
I'm Madeline, and this is my first time here.
Hey guys, I'm Tamara, and this is my second time around.
Hi, I'm Linda, and I've taken a class before.
I'm Doug, and I've been here since module one.
Wonderful.
Hi, my name is Leah, and I've been here since module one.
Hello, my name is Chris, and I've been here since module one.
I'm Trish, and this is my first DB class.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm Diane, and I'm going through the second round of Discovering Buddhism.
Hey, y'all, I'm Christine. I've lost count. I've been to a few.
Hi, I'm Matt. This is my second or third DB class that I've ever been to.
I'm Gary, and I'm going through this cycle the first time.
Good.
Hi, I'm Eugene. This is my second class.
I'm Alex. It's second module.
Hello, my name's Craig. I've been coming to the center on and off for the last year and a half, but this is my first DB class.
Sure, thank you.
I'm Tim. I've taken several modules.
I'm Tisha. I'm here with an open mind for the first time.
Very good.
I'm Katie. This is my second time around with the Discovering Buddhism classes.
Okay. My name's Aaron.
Yep.
I actually took DB the very first time the center offered it in the basement like 14 years ago, and it took me this long to come back. No, not come back. I've been to the center all the time, but to go through the whole course for a second time.
Well, thank you. It really helps me because it gives me an idea of somebody that's here first time. Some people have gone through every module. So I just want you to know that this is part of the DB program, and it has all 14 modules in it, and some people have taken quite a few of them. So this whole program is geared for those students, and it is basically required. The requirements are by FPMT, the organization that we belong to. And so there may be some things in there that may sound different to you, but I will try to make it easy enough where you can kind of relate to it. Okay? And the way I think I'm going to approach some of these things is we need to know what is it that we are doing, how are we doing it, and then sometimes maybe we even address why are we doing it. Because a lot of times we use big words, five of this and an eight of that and a three of this, and we use certain words. But a question comes in your mind, what does that really mean? You lose the context of it sometimes. So we'll try and address those. But at the same time, I might keep up a little bit of pace just so that we cover the requirements, okay? But if you have any questions, certainly after the class or when we have a group meeting, feel free to talk and ask me any questions. And if I know it, hopefully I can help. If I don't know it, we have many advanced students here. We have Donna here. We have Geshe-la here. We can always get back with the correct answer, okay? So with that, we'll start a small, just a short meditation. And while in meditation, yes?
Could you tell us a little bit of yourself?
Oh, myself? Okay, I thought.
How do you reach the Buddhist path?
Yeah, so I can tell you, coming to Kadampa Center for about 10 years, but I've been attracted to Buddhism for probably 15 to 20 years. Always since childhood, my parents were Hindus, very strong Hindus. I went to a Jesuit school. I had different kind. I actually loved going to different places just to learn. That was my mindset. But my parents taught me a lot of things. And some of these things, it just became innate with me. It's like I was attracted to Buddhism from beginning. I wanted to go to Nepal. I've been to Nepal, and where did I go? I didn't go sightseeing. I wound up in a monastery area looking around. I made friends there. We had monks visiting a small town we used to live. We wound up inviting them. I went to a college. We got them a beautiful hall. They did a dance performance, the Drepung Monastery monks, and the president of the college got involved. The newspaper, Patty used to work in a newspaper, and they supported them with the advertisement. And the next thing you know, on a beautiful shoreline of a Susquehanna River, the monks are sitting in a small village of Pennsylvania. So we've always been involved with this. And I tell you what really attracted me to Kadampa Center is the smile that Geshe-la gives when he laughs. When I first came here, I was first impressed. I believe that we should really look at the lineage. Before you start learning some things, you want to buy a car, what do? We Google it, we find out what model it is, who makes it, how people rate it. Well, same way, I checked it out, and I found that this has such an authenticity in it. People were down to earth, and then when I saw Geshe-la and realized he's a Geshe-la, he's a Lorampa Geshe-la, then I realized how fortunate we are. How fortunate we are. As you develop these things and when you learn some of these things, you will see the value of having such a teacher in Raleigh, in Kadampa Center, who teaches you. So to me, that was my attraction. And it really, really moved me. And then it's all experiences, all the Dharma friends, brothers and sisters, and no pressure and how it's run. I just dove into it, and it really helped me many, many ways. I feel like I'm a changed person. I may not be 100%, but I feel a lot of changes in my own mindset. And to me, that spoke more than words could. So that's what brought me here. So about 10, 11 years now. Okay, so you want to think about the 7-point meditation for those who are new. You want to keep your back straight a little bit, not rigid, just like a stack of coins, kind of easy, but not rigid like this. You don't want to lean back. If you're sitting on the cushion, you want to be in a vajra position or what they call lotus position. Doesn't matter, just you're cross-legged. Okay, if you're sitting on a chair, have your feet flat on the floor, just be relaxed. Okay. You want to have your neck tilted a little bit. Have the tongue on the palate of your mouth relaxed, not clenching your teeth. You want to keep your neck down a little bit. When you're sitting down and you're sitting like this, your left hand, your right hand is up, your thumbs are touching each other, and relax about 2 fingers below your navel. Your eyes are going to be half closed or half open. That's because you don't want to fall asleep. And so you just want to be aware of where you are, but your mind is just kind of focused inside. And what you're going to do is bring your attention to this place, that you are here. Scan your body, see everything is working, nothing is tight, nothing is uncomfortable, and you want to take some breaths, and then slowly and steadily start focusing your mind on that breath. Either the air going through your nostril, and just keep your mind there, be aware of it, or for some people, you may want to take a look at your stomach extending and coming back when you inhale or exhale, and just keep your mind on it for a while. You want to release any tension you may have. If your mind starts to wander, be aware of it. Don't force it. Just recognize that it's wandering and gently bring it back to your breath. So with this little calmer state of mind, we're going to get into the motivation. Keep the same position going. Keep your mind focused and just hear this out. And we're going to set a motivation. Motivation is extremely important. We cannot do anything unless you have an affirmation in your own mind or you have some conviction of what you want to do and why you want to do. Can't even go through that door unless you have the motivation to get up from the chair or your cushion and go to the door. So let's start by reflecting on why we are here. What is it that we hope to gain by studying this course that is titled Establishing a Daily Practice? Maybe we feel we are stressed in our lives and want to find some way to relieve that. Or maybe we are aware of the need in lives of those around us and we wish that we can help in some way. But we always seem to come up short, not knowing what exactly to say or what the skillful action is should do it due to any situation. So whether the motivation is some type of a personal temporary happiness, or whether it's freedom from suffering for ourselves, or whether it's a greater wish to develop the qualities that we need to help others. First is being very honest with yourself where we actually are right now and setting the motivation by the power of making this effort to listen to these teachings. May the longing in my heart be fulfilled. And then recognizing that there are others with similar longings, and then expanding that motivation and the power of us coming together for these teachings. May all of these wishes within all hearts of all living beings be completely fulfilled. And then recognizing that we have limitless potential. There is no positive quality that we cannot achieve ourselves without some effort, and especially contacting that place in our heart that truly wishes to bring peace to the world, to stop the sufferings of sickness, aging, death itself, and is looking for some way to free our minds into limitless capacity to be able to do this. Then especially generating bodhicitta, motivation that by the power of attending this course and listening to these teachings, may I myself quickly attain the state of fully awakened one, become exactly what is needed to benefit all living beings. And especially inviting to this place all those who study discovering Buddhism, wherever they may be, that they might receive the full benefit of these teachings and achieve their goals. Also, inviting here our teachers from this life, those who we've met directly and those who are helping us in disguise, asking them to come here and to bless our minds to receive exactly what we need in this moment in our spiritual development. And so, entrusting ourselves with the mind of refuge and the mind of bodhicitta. Thank you. Okay. So, just a quick note. You probably, people who've taken meditation, you know, how to meditate. It's the second module, I believe, or Meditation 101. You should know the importance of motivation. Whenever you do any practice, when you start learning, when you go to class, you need to tell your mind why you're doing it and what you wish to accomplish, what is your goal. So it's an affirmation for yourself. It's a commitment to yourself. And that makes you do the action. And when you do it, you there's more satisfaction out of it because you took the action of what you wanted to do. Okay? And you'll hear words like do motivations to dedications. And we'll talk about dedications in a while when we actually do one. That what's the importance of doing dedication? Why do we do it? Okay? So with that in mind, I know that some of you are new here, but because this is a format that I need to follow, I'm going to go through some of these things, and you'll see me sometimes flipping pages. I'm not trying to read it. What I'm trying to do is I've taken some notes to follow the format a little bit. So it kind of triggers some nice little conversation that we would want to have together. Okay? So some first class, I think people took Mind and Their Potential, people who have taken all modules. You may have taken Mind and Their Potential, How to Meditate, Death and Rebirth, I think Presenting the Path, Karma, Refuge, and Relating to Your Spiritual Teacher. Now, some people start a little later, some people start earlier, but in the end, this, like typically if you go from 1 to 14 in a certain way, then those are the classes you would expect to finish before coming to Module 8. Okay? So, establishing the daily practices where all these components kind of come together. And even if you haven't taken DB classes, you may have come to Kadampa Center or you may have heard or read in a book. There are certain concepts in Buddhism that are very prominent. And what this does is this particular establishing the daily practices, bringing all of those things in front of you and saying, now, what am I going to do with this? Right? You learn about karma and you learn about presenting the path and how to meditate. But then the question is, so now what? What do I do? You know, where do I go from there? You also find yourself in a situation where you hear so many angles and so many books and so many views and so many meditations. And maybe your mind starts to say, oh, geez, there's so many things. How do I structure myself? Where do I begin? And so maybe this is an attempt in this class, what we're going to do, and try to structure that a little bit for you. Okay? In the beginning, I'm just going to give you guidelines, and it may overwhelm you when I start talking about what really our teacher, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, would like us to do. And you may start to say, oh, geez, I thought this was all about bringing it down, but this seems like it's getting even more expanded. But I assure you not to worry. It is about each individual making their own journey, their own plan to reach Buddhahood. Okay? And you have to keep that up. But there are some things you should follow because it's like a doctor telling you to take an Advil and take it twice a day and you decide to go take a whole nother acetaminophen and decide, forget the doctor, as far as I don't have pain, I'm fine with whatever I take. You don't know the consequences. So you should follow some path in the prescribed fashion, but then we can also curtail to your own needs. Not everybody is home all day. Some people have jobs. Some people have responsibilities. And either, unless you want to get up at 3 o'clock and do it, not all of us can do it. Some do it. It would be great if you can do it, but there are a few things you can do that will last you all day. Okay? So we're going to cover that. So we have to bring this all together, and so in a meaningful way. This is now, it's a preparation. You've learned all of those things, and now you're going to say, how am I going to integrate all of those things? Okay? And so that my mind transformation is completed. I can really transform my mind. You know, how can I bring everything right in front of me now? I've learned all of these things, but I need to structure it. So in Mind and Its Potential, we learn about the clear and knowing nature of mind. It's aware, it's clear, and it's knowing. It can manage pleasure, it can manage suffering. It's vast, but you manage that. So you kind of learn about those things. If you talk about meditation, you're going to learn about what is motivation, what is dedication. Kind of brings those concepts together. Presenting the path provides you an entire path of enlightenment. The relationship with your teacher, the importance, the knowledge of death and rebirth, how we view that, and karma and refuge. Okay, people have learned so much information. And again, I'm maybe reporting, what are you supposed to do with it? There's something called insensitivity. There are people who want to take something in and learn it and practice it. Now you're doing something with it. There are others who will come to observe, learn, and it gets in their head, but it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. We develop this insensitivity to Dharma. And then the mind has a torpor, a lassitude, little laziness. Okay, it starts to say, well, yeah, I've heard this before. And they repeat the same thing again and again and again. Oh, I don't need to know this. You develop this mindset because your mind has not really conceived the real effect of what that Dharma is. What is it that is really happening? And we're going to cover that a little bit. There's also, you can think of it this way, you have a sense. Still, after learning Dharma and meditating, you still have a strong sense of self. You know, you still start losing your temper very quickly, start judging people. Then you know that though you've learned Dharma and you know what's the right thing to do, you've really never really not absorbed it, not soaked it in yet, right? And so, but when Dharma is soaking in, then all of a sudden your view changes. Okay, your whole way, you get this beautiful warm feeling inside you. You know, it reminds me of that when you listen to some songs. A song comes up after a long time that you really like. How do you feel about it? It kind of makes you happy. You know, you might even get a little tingle. It starts to take you in a nice little place in your mind. There's a little happiness. There's a little pleasure when you hear something, a song that really means something to you. Well, maybe we need to think about Dharma in that way. Does that make you feel that way? When you see a teacher walking through the door, you know, do you feel that tingle? When they're teaching you something, do you feel that sense of urgency? Do you feel the hair of the back of your neck stand up? So you need to think about that for a while. Why and why not? Because if you just see it this way, but not practice it, just you're not going to develop that excitement. Right? And we want to develop that excitement. If you want to practice, and if you're truly your goal is to become Buddha at some point, or reach that goal, you need to, you know, we use the word imbibe it, take it in. Okay? So, when you start to feel that tear, when you start to feel that happiness inside, you can't wait to go, have a very, very, you know, just joyful effort you have to get to the Kadampa Center, wanting to really learn, wanting to understand it. What is it that they do? How can I put it in my life? Then you are accepting Dharma in a proper way. Okay? So, but sometimes you'll still see that we always still develop this. When you have this strong self, sense of self, everything is external. You know, I can't concentrate today because somebody made a noise. I can't really get settled down because at my work, you know, these stupid people, you know, you get these kind of thoughts in your mind. This chatter is going on all the time. But as you start to put practice into place, what you'll find is you'll get a perspective and you really will find the way to handle that. And I can just tell you a little bit about myself, that I used to lose my temper when somebody cut me off on the highway. Okay? Just for no reason, absolutely no reason. I'll be fine, great mood, I've done my practice, sit in a car, somebody chops me off, and I see it coming. But I tell you, after doing a practice for a couple of years now, it's beginning to settle in. As soon as that feeling comes, I hit myself like, hey, where are you going? Well, why are you doing it? Could be your mother, could be late for a job, could be going to an emergency place. You don't know, but all of a sudden your mind develops this really nice, blissful way of thinking things. when your mind is pliant and it's accepting dharma. Okay? And then all of a sudden, you don't feel that, ah. Even to catch it is a big step. You know, we talk about diets. First thing you have to say, look in the mirror and say, I need to go on a diet, right? We do that, right? And that's the first start. Because you can plan all day long, but we wind up going back to where we were. But you have to make that effort and first recognize it. So dharma is like that. It really allows you to change the way you see things. Okay? So mind and dharma gap. When you first start learning dharma, there's a big gap between mind and dharma. And the aim is to bring that gap closer and closer. You see, after a couple of years, when you attend these classes, when you see Geshe La's teaching, when you start doing meditation, that gap starts to come closer and closer. An example of that is how you view your parents. This is, again, a general analogy. This is not going into anybody's personal life. I just want to give you an analogy. So, you know, people will say, oh, my parents will forget them. You know, you don't get along with them. You're upset with them. You kind of sometimes blame them for your any problems you may have had. But that's when you still, your mind, you're not accepting dharma properly. Your view is different. You're seeing on a very conventional level, he, she, and it. But the minute you step back and the dharma is permeating in your mind, you see the parents as somebody that gave you this life. Somebody that gave you this precious human rebirth. And we're going to cover the difference between just a human and a precious human rebirth. And they were a vehicle. Because of them, you were sitting here and listening to dharma. If you just have that view switch, they can still conventionally do a lot of things that may not please you every moment, but your view changes. You may put up with it in a different way. Right? So that's how dharma works with you. That's how practice works with you. So we do an attitude check sometimes, and this is when you want to know, you know, if this gap of your mind and the gap between the mind and your how far it is from each other. Is it coming together? So there's the goal is no more gap. Your mind and you are dharma. Dharma and mind is one. You become dharma. Okay, that is the goal. So what is dharma? Can anybody tell me? What is dharma? Okay, great. So you'll find Jain, Hindu, Sikhs, many people will call their religion dharma too. Okay? So according to what I have written down here, and again, this is from Lama Zopa Rinpoche, dharma is that which holds us back from suffering. Think about this for a second. So dharma is that which holds us back from suffering. Okay? And for those people who have taken some advanced classes or been here for a long time and understand a little bit of emptiness or wisdom, we call it, I'll take it a little further. Don't mind if you don't understand. We'll certainly talk after class. The quintessential dharma is the wisdom of realizing emptiness, the nature of reality, the way we see things. Our mind having perceived this directly and eliminating all mental afflictions one by one. We have many mental afflictions. Hate, greed, this, that, right? When you start to realize how dharma becomes one with you, they start to fall slowly and steadily. And you become more and more stable, more and more in poise, equipoise, very positioned in the right place, nice and pliable mind. You accept dharma differently. Your view changes. Okay? So, and also by the power of this realization and developing of our capacity further and further through practice of this, what we call six perfections. And I'll just go through them very quickly, not going to get into details of that. But in order to become a realized being like Buddha, to develop that omniscient mind, it's said that we need to have developed generosity, morality and ethics. You need to have patience. Okay? You need to have a joyful effort. You have to develop concentration, and you have to have wisdom. And again, wisdom, not the dictionary meaning of wisdom. It goes in, there's a whole other class and a module on this. It's calling understanding how things exist. Okay? So anyways, so again, dharma. Dharma is that which holds us back from suffering.
Can I share one other
also heard the definition that that which motivates us towards virtuous action, mm-hmm. which is sort of the flip side of that coin.
Yep.
You know,
it's
so it maybe Buddha's teachings, maybe other teachings, but motivates.
Well, so if you think about
right?
it, if you think about it, suffering is non-virtuous actions. Yeah. So if you have virtuous actions, you are working against your non-virtuous actions. Therefore, you are in dharma.
Yep.
Correct? So it works. So the goal of dharma, especially in Mahayana, the practice that we follow, is to become Buddha, to reach Buddhahood. You are, each and every one of you, either are or capable of becoming Buddha, an omniscient mind, realized being. Okay? For a lot of us, we have a lot of this cycle, we are in this cycle, right? Birth, death, sickness. And you know, you hear this word about, oh, Buddhism is all about suffering. All about suffering. That's what you hear, and then that sticks with your mind. They're emphasizing dukkha or suffering. It's many different things, right? You get up in the morning, you have a headache, it's a little suffering. You lose your job, that's suffering. You're late for school, you're suffering. You have a test coming up, you're suffering. Right? So suffering in many ways. It's not always, you know, somebody cut you or hurt you or something like that. But a life, you imagine how many times, if you believe in, according to Buddhism, we have thousands and thousands, eons of lives and death, and the goal is to get out of that. Become a Buddha, meaning you are not in that. You are omniscient. You are everywhere, in all directions, at all times, fully aware. Just, you cannot even fathom that nature. But how do you become that? Is by knocking these afflictions out slowly and steadily and realizing that direct perception of emptiness, which you'll learn in another class. But that is the goal. Right? So, again, just to circle back, this class is on establishing daily practice, and what I'm talking about right now is slowly and steadily leading to that. Okay? It's preparing your mind to do that. And I'm going to keep an eye on the time. We have a few things to go through. So, I'll tell you the insensitivity to dharma, according to Pabongka Rinpoche. He says, talks about this in his readings, that how to meditate on stages of the path to enlightenment. Once you overcome if you are overcome by insensitivity to dharma, your mind stream becomes ruined, and you are incapable of being tamed. And even by the lamrim or blessed word of your teacher or guru, so apply yourself to the profound method for avoiding insensitivity to dharma. This is to be achieved through the blessings of your guru's speech and your own efforts to listen to the dharma properly. So however much understanding you gain through hearing dharma, it is vital to generate soon afterward the understanding to which comes from your own reflection. Key words here, when you talk about developing daily practice, apply yourself, your own efforts, and reflection. So when you read a book, or when you listen to teachings from Geshe La or teachers, you need to really reflect on it and then do something with it. If you just absorb like a videotape, then you develop that insensitivity, right? It's the same stuff again and again and again. But as you develop your own mind through practice, you see different angles. You say, oh my goodness, that happened to me. Oh geez, I can feel that. I can sense that. I've seen people actually get into meditation and tears come out of their eyes. Because they're sensing that, they're feeling that. Okay? So Lama Zopa Rinpoche says that Lamrim is your last chance. Lamrim is the quintessential heart instructions that come through lineage and through Buddha. The lineage teachers and through Buddha. It's the most practical instruction that Buddha gave us. Okay? So, but if you can't be saved by Lamrim, there aren't teachings of Buddha that are going to move your mind. Okay? So there's an analogy of, you might have heard, some of you may have heard, this leather butter analogy. So I'll tell you a little bit about that. So in Tibet, you know, they use butter to make leather very pliable, very soft. So they work the leather in and in and in. Then the leather becomes so soft, they can make jackets, they can make bags, they can make shoes, moccasins, all kind of stuff. Then what happens is they make a little pouch out of it, and then they start carrying butter in it. After a while, there's a chemical reaction between the butter and the leather. and then the leather becomes so hard, it becomes like a rock. You can even knock on it. That's how hard it gets. Okay? So the analogy is that your mind is like a leather, and dharma is like a butter. Okay? Think about it for a second. If you allow the dharma to work like a butter, soften your mind, allow space, soak it in, expand your mind, then it's nice and flexible. If it just sits there and you just take it in, then don't do anything about it. You don't put it into practice. It will become hard. Right? So that's a good analogy to just kind of think about it. Right, so again, when the mind is pliable, when the mind is flexible, it's very easy to direct, it's very easy to transform, and it's very easy to generate qualities of the mind. Yeah. So establishing a daily practice here is where you can say where rubber meets the road. You've learned a lot of these things, but now we got to do something about it. Right? So, the aim of this course is that by end of discovering Buddhism, you would have had a good taste of the Dharma and can do something for your mind. Okay? If you don't develop a strong daily practice, that's probably not, and nothing is going to happen. You know? There's also you'll see people that will come here, they'll learn a lot, they'll get great teachings, but they've developed that heart pouch, the butter sat in there for too long, and then they don't find something, and all of a sudden you see them walking away. They may even choose a different teacher, a different path, maybe some sort of an exploration, not even a deep one. So what I'm saying is that when you get these teachings, when you're going through Discovering Buddhism, Meditation 101, you come Sunday and you see Geshe La give you some teachings, allow, absorb a little bit. Take few things away. You don't have to know and memorize everything. You know, but if you can take few things away that can change your life and change others' lives, then you've gotten something out of it. Right? So, any questions? I'm going to pause here for a second. Am I going too fast? Am I jumping around? Any particular, anybody has any questions, concerns? Not following?
Well, one question is related with the how we see reality. Let's see, one way to do it is with the concept of emptiness. But what about when you see life, whatever happened to you, whatever situation, as a result of your karma? So with this perspective, you see, everything that is happening is because supposedly I did something before. Mm. And then let's see why we are here, no?
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
So how would be your thoughts in terms to behave yourself or see the reality with this perspective that everything is showing up here because I did something before? Mm. How are your thoughts?
So I, of course, this is not a class on emptiness, but yeah. I'll give you a slight perspective on it. You know, I said about earlier that there are many humans. We call this a precious human rebirth. Why is it precious? There are many humans born every day. There are some people right now killing somebody. There are wars going on. There are people dying right now. And if you look at even certain people, they're committing things that they're going to face the consequences of it, right? But when you say precious human rebirth, it's talking about why in karma you come here. You know, how do you recognize that? So I'm going to say that you have met the Dharma. That's what makes it precious. You know how many eons and eons. And you know you have to give credit to your previous self. You worked very hard. You were very kind at some point, had some virtuous thoughts. And you wanted to be here. You've been looking for it, and it brought you here. It brought some consequences in your life, and you created this. So, to your question, you have an ability to create your reality. Though you may have karma, good, bad, or ugly, there were some good things you did, you know, and some not so good things you did. It's not about comparing that, but taking an opportunity now to make that change for later. That's why it's precious. You can be thrown into any realm, any time. How many sentient beings are there? You could be anything. And so the thing that you are in a human body, sitting here and even thinking about emptiness, what a precious human life you have. What an opportunity to get the teachings of emptiness. So karma works two ways. You don't have to be a doormat and say that, oh, it's my karma, so that's my consequences. You do have wisdom. You do make your ways, but always putting dharma in your mind. Your mindset is always complying with the mind to help others, to benefit others, to view things directly in the state of emptiness, how things really exist. This, we all know this is a table and this is a book and you are so-and-so and I am Hemant and all that. But look at it from that perspective, that this is just a body that has been labeled Hemant. You know, we know that. And I don't want to go into deep into emptiness right now, but it's the way we perceive things. It's the way we see things. And that's why be very thankful that Geshe even talks about emptiness to you. You just have no idea what a gift that is. You know, so because some of these things sound so esoteric. But when you really, really, and Buddha never said, take this and this is the only way or you're going to, this is going to happen. He's telling you, check it out. Geshe always says, I'm your friend. We are all in it together. Let's check it out. Find out. Think about it. Do something with it. If it doesn't work, then move on. Because it really is all about these teachings. And there are some very fundamental concepts that you must take it in. I don't know if I've answered your questions correctly, but we can talk about it even after class, and I'll certainly love to get into a little bit more with you. So I'll give you an overview of what... So anyways, what I was saying is the person may walk away. This was the last thing I talked about, and eventually wind up losing this connection simply because his pouch became hardened like a rock. So all I'm asking is, when you're learning this, whatever your motivation is, based on that, if your motivation is to really take this dharma in and take this journey towards Buddhahood, then I would take this and take it in. If you're here to observe and learn, these are just some of the teachings of Buddha and the teachings that our lineage teachers have offered us. Okay? So what this class is all about, I'm going to put this in a little perspective. So I'll give you a little overview of what we can look forward to. So we are going to look at how to set up an effective meditation session. What are the components that we need to have in place to experience and some transform our mind? In future sessions, we'll look at something called 6 preparatory practices, including a 7 limb prayer. We're going to talk about how to do mandala offering, set up an altar. So there are little things. So we talk about this, we develop our mind, but then we're going to go and talk about these practices, how we do it, why we do it. You know, we could answer those questions. Okay? For easy reference, that we're going to use this daily meditation practice, I think we're going to be using the Shakyamuni Buddha meditation book that I think Aaron showed you earlier in the class. And if you don't know, I would suggest to you, not anything expensive. It's an amazing book. Once you learn what it's all about, this will be very helpful to you. Okay? Small little book. Okay, so then we'll talk about what we are supposed to do when we meditate. Okay, we're going to talk about meditating on something. Have you meditated long enough? What is the next step? Do I have realizations? Is that a realization? You have all these questions in your mind. What does it look like? Right? We can check this off and see if this is a realization or there's something else going on and we need to find a technique to learn about that. We can identify those things and see how your journey is going. Okay? In between sessions, whenever we talk to people about how's your daily practice, I'm sure there are many people here practicing. You know, so please don't take this as I'm talking to people who are not practicing, but some are practicing, some are not practicing, or they think they're practicing. Okay? So in between session is another piece of this. That while we think, when we ask people, how's your practice going, what they're thinking about is what they do when they're sitting on a cushion. Right? But remember I said the gap between the mind and dharma needs to be one. You know, it's not you do meditation on Sunday, then Monday to Friday, there goes dharma, right? I'll find myself back here and I'll come myself, do a couple of meditation, I'll be okay again. And I also like to say from my own side, this has nothing to do with the teaching, but don't create this mindset of a burden on your mind. You can have fun with this. Have happiness. The goal here is to become happy. Not, I gotta remember this and I gotta do this, and if I didn't do this and I do, don't get into that kind of a mindset. Little things you do can bring you happiness and include dharma in it. Okay? It's not this being nicey-nicey here and here, this is the bad side of me. You know, you need to recognize this all exists. I am this and I am that, and I'm working in my mind to bring it together slowly. You know, you look at all these venerable nuns, when they come and tell me, first one I got a little writing from Venerable Robina Kortin says, never give up. You know, and I still have it. I pull it out once in a while. And there are days in life where you just like, it doesn't work. You know, got too much work going on, job is doing this, that is going on. And then you bring it back, and then you're back into that fold again. And then you just realize how big you've gotten. Actually, you've learned a lot. So please don't give up, just try it. Okay? In between sessions, there's so many things besides the cushion you do, off cushion. You know, we'll talk about those things in the next session. Okay? So you got to put things in perspective. You got to talk about the six preparatory practices. We're going to go through some Lam Rim prayers, understand the four immeasurables. We're going to go through what prayers I should do, what are the daily practices. We're going to go through a meditation session. How do I do a good meditation session? You know, what do I do in between? How my day looks like? What do I do in between? So all those things we'll cover. Then how do you deal with obstacles? You know, it seems like you're meditating. You're doing everything right. But something is just like hitting the wall. Can't visualize, can't think, don't feel the presence, whatever. There are techniques around that, how to remove those obstacles. What other practices you can do to remove the obstacles? So we're going to cover those. Okay? So sometimes people ask this, you know, when I have obstacles, how do I know that I've progressed? To that, His Holiness Dalai Lama said that a year later, look at yourself. How do you act to anger? How quickly do you get angry? You used to get like really mad. Do you feel yourself like I was telling you, I used to get really perturbed when somebody cut me off, and I find myself catching myself now and saying, let it be. Maybe that's a slight progress. Okay? Are you still judgmental? Or are you feeling like you feel compassion for somebody? Do you have compassion for somebody suffering? Maybe we don't, and maybe sometimes we do develop. Some people have compassion for animals. Some people slowly start to humans, but there is compassion. Then you see, how were you 2-3 years ago? It kind of gives you an indication if you made any progress, if your mind stream has changed, if you've transformed your thoughts. Right? So that gives you a little indication. That's just some examples of what Dalai Lama says. Check yourself, you know, now and then, and see how you're really thinking. Be honest to yourself. Okay? So we'll look at some of these obstacles. And then the next thing what I want to talk about is Lama Zopa Rinpoche has an advice. This is a huge piece of what we should do. So this is our next session, and I know we are running probably very short of time. So this is still 8:30?
Yeah, 8:30.
So today, I'm supposed to do a meditation, which is a pretty lengthy meditation. We'll just do a very short one today, but during the next 3 or 4 classes, I want to make sure that those people who are taking Discovering Buddhism seriously and want to take those exams or tests online, we'll cover each and every of those meditation. Okay, I just want to promise you that. It's my first class, and maybe the timing of it, and some of it is excitement, some of it I want to express some things to you, and wanted to share some things with you. We may go a little 5 minutes longer. Okay, so Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Everybody familiar who's Lama Zopa Rinpoche? Right? So we belong to FPMT, it's Association for Preservation of Mahayana Tradition. and he's a Rinpoche. That means he's a reincarnate, and he's our teacher, and he has, what, 100 and some, how many Buddhist centers? A couple of 100 Buddhist centers all over the world. He's involved in many, many projects, and when he's here, you sense his presence. Just let me know. When he speaks, when he talks, you'll be amazed how good he is. And this entire program is developed under his guidance. A lot of his students who develop these programs, they've edited it, they've made some edits, they've made some changes, but all goes through Lama Zopa Rinpoche. So when I'm going through some of these things and turning the page, I want to make sure that Hemant is not talking Hemant talk, it's following the teacher's advice. Okay? So he's Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, when you get up in the morning, so now when I start to tell you what he says to do, your mind is going to go a little bit like, wow, this is a lot. Okay? But just take it as a guidance right now. Don't think of it as, oh, I got to do this, and this. Think of what he's just advising. It's good for you. In which way? Okay? So take it from a different angle. So first thing you want to develop is a mind of bodhicitta. So for those people who are first time, this is the heart of Buddhism, at least in the Mahayana practice, the practice that we follow, bodhicitta. So people who have taken these classes, can somebody tell me what is a bodhicitta? I am sure you know what bodhicitta is. We hear this all the time.
Bodhicitta is the wish to help others, so you become enlightened, so that you can help others become enlightened, so they're free from suffering.
Excellent. It is. It's such a short sentence, you know, wish to help others. Your mind starts to churn. What do you mean, wish to help others? I can't even help myself. You know, you start to chatter in your mind, you know. But it's an amazing, the whole idea that we correspond to this I am, it's my pleasure, my money, I do this, I do that. And when you develop bodhicitta, when you use these tools, you start to think of others. Think how powerful that is, that all of a sudden the whole universe is involved with you. In your mind, you're expanding your mind, you're developing compassion, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a very happy state of mind. All of these afflictions come from because of this clinging ignorance of who we are, right? So anyways, he talks about, first thing, I wanted to say that we can go into bodhicitta, there's a whole module on bodhicitta, but when you hear this, I don't want you to get lost thinking, well, first thing in the morning I'm supposed to have bodhicitta, what does that mean? First, you need to be very happy that you are alive. When you wake up in the morning, you should be happy that you're alive. You could have died, or you could be dying in the next few minutes, but the fact that you are alive in the morning, that you didn't die, then you want to develop this universal look. How are you going to be? You will not harm anybody. How will you be kind to yourself so that you can be kind to many others without grasping? That's a very, very powerful statement. If you just reflect on it when you're driving today, I would like you to actually go and read up a little bit about bodhicitta somewhere. Find it, you know, look it up. And I'd like to also suggest to you that when you're looking it up, this is my way of thinking, is try to look up in the lineage teaching. It's holiness, people in the lineage, Lama Zopa Rinpoche. There are a lot of people who have opinions. So you don't want to wind up in a website that has its own little thing going. Right? So I just would suggest that if you want true knowledge and you're trying to really learn, that you want to take it from unbroken teachings that has been passed on by teacher to teacher to teacher. So at least my suggestion would be that you keep up with that kind of thinking. Then the next thing he tells you is, once you do that, he tells you immediately that, you know, you need to think about that human beings who have helped you. Just think about it for a second. So this is another part of bodhicitta, I'll tell you, that we first think in a conventional reality, me and I, isolated, my house, my finances, right? My car, my job, my money. We even think about when you're eating a donut, think about it. I paid for it. I deserve this object of pleasure. Right? You don't think of where the wheat came from, who made the donut, who packaged it together, who brought it together. How many people in your life now and before, every time you buy clothes, do you think who put it together, what machines were used, who developed the machines, how they were packaged together, somebody labeled it, somebody put it in plastic, it comes to a store, somebody puts it in the right order, you go there. So how many people are involved in this activity all around us? Even your life, where are you? Your parents did something, your teachers taught you something, your friends are helping you, your teachers, your mentors are supporting you, your people around here are supporting you. So if you think in your mind that you're isolated all the time, it's my money, it's my donut, I deserve to be happy, and I pay for it, this is my pleasure. That's temporary, guys. Once the donut is gone, pleasure is gone. But this larger good, when you start thinking worldly, again, develop this bodhicitta, the feeling of compassion, thankful, gratitude, being mindful of all those things, you develop that compassionate heart. Right? So that's bodhicitta. So he says, first thing you get up in the morning, you want to develop bodhicitta. Okay? Then you do prostrations. I'm not going to go into prostrations a lot, but it talks about the 35 Buddha confessions. You see this little tanka here? Those are the 35 Buddhas. And you do 35 prostrations. Okay, and it said that it is a very, very profound practice. Okay, so you do prostrations and then you mention the names of these Buddhas. So then the conventional mind says, so I do little push-ups, go on the floor, and I'm supposed to get all the karma is gone. How does that work? Right? There's a whole thought behind this. When Lama Zopa Rinpoche says that this is profound, what he's talking about is that when these Buddhas were on their way, when they were bodhisattvas or they had developed bodhicitta to the point where they are going to become Buddhas, they had prayers that whoever prays to these Buddhas, their certain karmas will be purified. Okay, now you can look at it from a mundane side, or you can think from your mind becoming Buddha and the aspects of your mindset, the aspect and manifestation of that Buddha mind. Okay, and so it works. It's like a science. So you can relate to it in many different ways, but just know that when Lama Zopa Rinpoche says this is a profound practice, it is very profound, and we're going to go through that. Okay, we're going to actually practice it. So I want you to be aware of that. Okay, so let me go through this. I think we went through the donut story already. It also says this power of prayer, that when these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, when they become, when they're getting closer to the Buddhas, the power of prayer is mind-blowing. It really is like quintessential of their full bodhicitta involved. They're becoming Buddhas, so they're fully 100% almost there, right? And so the prayers to them is very powerful. Your mind connects with that very quickly. Another practice that Lama Zopa Rinpoche says that purifies you, and you'll know that as part of this discovering Buddhism, the 35 confession Buddhas, the requirement is to do 100,000. You're going to hear these large numbers, large things, 3-month retreats and 2-month retreats and 2 weeks of Lamrim. If you're serious, this is not about after 5 classes, you're supposed to do this. You'll have opportunities. There are retreats here. We have Light of the Path when it comes up. There are Geisha La takes us to retreat. Or when you go to another center, sometimes they're offering these practices. You should participate so that you can fulfill this requirement. Okay? And then if you have a weekend meditation coming up, you should participate. That will fulfill your requirement. Oh, no, take your time. That's okay. So another practice Lama Zopa Rinpoche talks about is the Nyungne practice. Nyungne, okay? That's a very powerful practice of compassion. And it's a 3-day practice, very extensive practice. People take precepts, they don't eat, and they practice. And he said it is so powerful that doing Nyungne practice is like going to a 3-month retreat. Just in 3 days, you get so much merits. Okay? And when you do this purification practice, Lama Zopa Rinpoche also says that when you do this Nyungne or Chenrezig mantra, you know, Om Mani Padme Hum, 10 malas a day, he says, there's an energy shift in your body. Your body, your cellularly, there's an energy shift. Such a positive and compassionate mindset is developed that even if you go to a swimming pool, it's said that the water gets blessed. The insects in the water get blessed. The birds that drink water get blessed. That's how much power is in that mantras. But this is where it starts. So these are some of the practices. So we talked about 35 confession Buddhas. There's a practice called Nyungne. There's a 2-week Lambrim course that people have, students have been asked that you should go to. You can discuss that later on. And then after that, there is another practice called Medicine Buddha Puja, or Medicine Buddha. A lot of people think that Medicine Buddhas are simply because of healing. That all it's all about is you see the blue color Buddha, and it's all about I'm not feeling well, he's going to heal me. That's one aspect of it. But according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, there are 7 of them around the main, the blue one. All of them had the same power of prayer, and they said that in degenerate time, which is from the time of Shakyamuni Buddha to today, we are in degenerate time. And I can tell you, every science or doctor will tell you that the lifespan is expanding, or according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, it is not. It is the quantity of life that might be expanding, but the quality of life is not expanding. There is famine. The diseases are getting stronger. Antibiotics are sometimes not working. So they patch you up for a longer time, right? But the quality of the life is somehow diminishing. But with have practice of Medicine Buddha, practice, you will find so many things change in your life. So much healing takes place in your mind. So much support comes in your mind. How much improvement gets in your life. You will be amazed. So that's another practice he talks about. Not to forget, he says nowadays, very powerful practice to do is Medicine Buddha. So I'm going to just throw these names out. We're going to cover some of these things. So just kind of think about what we've gone through today a little bit in your mind as I'm talking about this. So we talked about 35 confession Buddhas. He's telling you when you get up in the morning, have a mind of bodhicitta, be happy and be kind to yourself. You didn't die, you are here. And how you're going to try and be kind to others. You develop that. Then you do this confession Buddha practice. You start to if nothing at all, believe me, it will definitely, you'll feel the difference when you're going up and down 35 times, you'll feel it. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that everybody has to do that. If you can't do it, you don't have to do it, but try to do it as many times as you can. And if you feel tired, you can just go bow down, but try to get to each of the Buddhas and use your mouth to say the names, learn them. That's very helpful. Because a lot of times we'll say somebody is saying it, and I do that. I play it on an iPad, and then it's easy to hear it than to actually say the entire thing correctly, and then at the same time bow down, and then come up. So it's advice that we learn those names. That's the morning thing. So you go through this practice, then there is this required daily practice, preliminary practice. Another thing Lama Zopa Rinpoche talks about is blessing your speech. Okay? If you look at your prayer book, you will see preliminary practice. Okay? Those are everyday things that you can do, and believe me, it doesn't take that long. Initially, because you don't know, it may seem like you gotta look through this. But you're really just blessing all kinds, it's amazing. You first think that everything I do today is going to multiply. Then there's another mantra after that says, every time I do this recitation, it's going to multiply. So you're feeding this mind of yours that it's vast. It's going to be big. It's going to help so many things. You are such a positive imprints you're putting in your mind. You know, rather than thinking, oh, it's not going to work. I'm going to just have to bow down 35 times. You're already creating negative mindset. This is that, again, that energy you want, that excitement, just like when you heard that old song. You know, you want to get that excitement, and yes, I want to learn this, I want to feel this, I want to know this. That's how you do this kind of prostrations. Then after you do your preliminary, that's a daily practice, then they tell you to read a little bit of Lambrim. You know, take 5 or 10 minutes and read something about it. You know, and then you want to do some dedications. Okay, so there's a whole, like a 1, 2, 3, you will talk about how you do preliminary practice, then there is, there's a little invocation, then you do mandala offering, you do the 4 immeasurables, you do the 7 limb prayer. So these are titles. And they're not too big. You can do very extensive, or you can do short ones. Okay? The idea is, there is a method to this madness. Okay? If there is a real, there's a real profound reason behind it. For us, it's a chaotic. What do I do? When do I do it? How do I do it? So it's our mind that makes it look like there's a madness in it. But when somebody's saying you, if you follow this and if you do this, you will see transformation in your mind. And just, I would say, try it. It doesn't take that long, believe me. Now, if you have time, you don't have to go to work, you're home, and if you can spend a little time doing it, more power. Fantastic. Okay, then, so that talks about your morning setup. Then we talked a little bit about in-between sessions, correct? So we'll talk about that, what to do in between. You can say, okay, now time is up, you go to work, and now it's gone, and I'll think about it tomorrow, right? It can happen, but you can once in a while bring some of those activities, that affirmations you make in the morning, back to your real actions when you do during the day. Just be kind. And then there are evening practices. He again, Lama Zopa Rinpoche goes into very detail about what you do in the evening. You know, he talks about Vajrasattva practice for purification. He says, you do a Vajrasattva practice, you will sleep with a happy mind. That's what he says. You'll sleep with a happy mind. You clear all that obscurations out, all those afflictions out. You talk, you generate regret. You go into your reliance of this holy teachings. Really think about what you did. And see slowly how that starts to say, let this go, I'll try not to do it again, or I'll do it differently. And then you do purification practice, clear your mind. And then you go to sleep. It's a wonderful practice. You can do little Lamrim prayers. And he also says, for some people, do another 35 confession Buddhas in the evening. Okay? Do as you can. You have to develop your own practice. He is telling you it's a wonderful thing. You do it in the evening, you do it in the morning, and do a Vajrasattva practice at night. He says it's fantastic. Okay. So, with that said, I know we don't have a lot of time left, and so I wanted to do this. Let's see, it's 8:20. Do we have at least 15 minutes that we can do a little meditation? If you have to leave, please feel free to leave. That's not going to bother me, but it would be nice if you can do at least one part of the meditation. Okay, here we go. All right. Just so again, get yourself poised. Feel the weight of your body in your in the place. Scan your body. Be relaxed. Be happy that we had this session today. And again, look at your posture. Close your eyes, not completely. Leave it slightly open. Go into a good space there. And this, for the first meditation, is just to become a little familiar with the part of this practice. And we talked about this meditation of Sakyamuni Buddha. And what we are going to do is we are going to concentrate on this practice for two qualities of the mind that we want to develop. One is for the clarity, so that this is trying to have a very clear visualization of Buddha or the object of your meditation. And the other one is intensity. You know, it almost reminds me of a movie that you are really enjoying, how absorbed you get in it, how visual it is for you. It's the same way of visualization you want to create. Okay? In Tibetan, this energy is called Nar. N-G-A-R. It's pronounced Nar. It's a real clear, intense energy that kind of gets you, hooks you up, and you feel really great about it. Okay? So it holds you there. So for visualization, visualize at the level of your forehead, about 2 meters or 6 feet, depending on where you're from, a large golden throne. Okay? It is beautifully adorned with jewels and supported at each corner by a pair of snow lions. On the throne is a fully developed lotus. On that are sun and the full moon disks. Upon the lotus, sun and the moon is seated Shakyamuni Buddha, who has achieved a perfect cessation of all suffering and obscuration, and has attained all perfect realizations. He is the manifestation of omniscient mind of all the Buddhas, the ultimate guru. He is inseparable from your root guru, who shows unmistaken path and is bound with infinite compassion to you and to all sentient beings. His body, in the nature of golden light, is very magnificent, and he wears the three robes of a monk. He has a face is beautiful, has a loving smile, his compassionate eyes looking towards you, but simultaneously encompassing all sentient beings. His mind is free of all judgmental critical thoughts, and he accepts you fully. Beautiful eyes, long and narrow, fine. Beautiful gaze, very peaceful. His eyes are half closed or half open. His lips are red. His hair is blue-black, each hair individually curled to the right. On the crown of his head is a crown pinnacle. The palm of his right hand rests on his right knee, the middle finger touching the moon cushion. His left hand rests in his lap in the mudra of meditation. In his left hand, he is holding a bowl filled with nectar. His body is in the Vajra posture, and he sits peacefully in the center of interlaced beams of light. His feature of his holy body represents an aspect of his omniscient mind, and so forth, his inner attainments. Each feature also demonstrates the causes, that is, the merit that was collected in the past. No matter how much one looks at Shakyamuni Buddha, one never feels satiated. The supreme refuge, Shakyamuni Buddha, encompasses the Guru, the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha. From his holy body, beams are emitted in all 10 directions. Numberless manifestations of Shakyamuni Buddha are carried on each beam of ripened infinite sentient beings. Looking at me, at this point you want to visualize Buddha looking at you with a compassionate eye, and he says to you, son or the daughter of the lineage, if you want to be liberated from the suffering of samsara, I will guide you. He happily promises this and frees me from breathless state. So holding this image in your mind as clearly as possible with great energy of mind, allowing our mind to become completely absorbed into the image before us, the Enlightened One, our teacher. Not being concerned with whether or not we can see him, but rather feel Buddha's presence. Holding that feeling strongly in your mind, acknowledging that there is an Enlightened One who only wants to teach and guide us, if only we can pay attention. And so, with all our hearts, pay full attention to Buddha. If the mind fades, concentrate on the brilliance of the golden light emanating from Buddha's body. Concentrate on our wishes to always be presence of teachers. Concentrate on our wish to always be in the presence of teachers and to be able to hear them whenever we have slightest doubt. realizing that Shakyamuni Buddha is not an image, he is an experience. So hold the meditation for one more minute, trying to give it yourself so undivided attention for the benefit of all. And then while holding the presence of Shakyamuni Buddha clearly in the mind during the meditation, you can do refuge when we will do it. This is something we will do in the next class. So, I hope I was clear enough. Sometimes I know I mumble myself, but I hope you got something out of the first class. I hope you can, if you think about all the things, the little aspects we covered, it was an introduction to the next five classes that we have, basically. Right? It is how you're going to take some of these teachings, or your readings, or your previous classes, and how it's, we're going to integrate that into a daily practice. And then you heard a lot of different things. Medicine Buddha, Nyune, Lamrim, retreat. We talked a lot of these analogies of bodhicitta and motivation. So right now, it's out there. Think of this as a manual. And then what we're going to do is you're going to make a plan. You know how you make your financial plans? You know, we sit down with somebody and say, okay, I got to do this. You can talk to your teacher or Geshe-la, and they will guide you. You know, just do this. You will know you're working, you're at school, you're a student. You know, they'll understand that. And then you also find some people need more, and some people can just need right. But they'll give you just the right dosage. But you can start with your own. Shakyamuni Buddha, you start to understand a little bit of this and think of him as your teacher, main guru teacher. Fantastic. You know, this meditation and this Shakyamuni Buddha, Lama Zopa Rinpoche himself put this together. And so there's a blessing right there. When a teacher of that level has written this down, he's telling you to use it, you can't, how just think about the benefit of that. I don't have any words for it. So, anyways, with that in mind, in conclusion, all I want you to think about when you go home today, do a little reflection. Think whether your pouch is hardened, or you just shopping, or how serious are you? Do you really want to become Buddha? Do you even understand what that means? Do you have the gumption to have bodhicitta developed, which we are required? We should work towards it. And the tools that you're going to learn is the first step. If you already don't have it, you will develop it. And you start small. Don't go thinking outside, oh, geez, what am I? I can't do this. I can't do it. It's not about that. You start now. If you're not already doing it, it's a great place to start. You know. And if you learn something and you move forward, and you will experience it. And if you don't experience it, then you want to check in, see what needs to happen for you. Okay? So with that, I really thank you for your time. We'll see you next Monday, and we'll really get into it. Okay? Say that again, I can't hear. Sure, absolutely. I was actually going to give you a couple of words, so let me give you some things to do. I will tell you that there is people who are seriously taking, let me just put this back. Sorry. So people who are seriously considering getting the certification in on an online program with DB, and they're willing to go through all of these things, you know, there's a test. Okay? I intend to give you a practice test at the end of the class or at some point. This is not pressure on you. This is not to see how much you know and all that. This is purely to keep you motivated to understand few concepts. And to keep that in mind, and also it gives me a good idea that we've covered things that is required by the FPMT to make sure in this module you cover with the students. Okay? So there will be a like a small little practice time. We'll talk it out and we'll work on it. It doesn't have to be this do it and you have 10 minutes and finish it, nothing like that. Just ease, but try to answer it honestly and see what needs to be improved. Okay, so we'll do that. I suggest to you, Aaron went through several books. One I suggest to you, by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, here's his picture when he was young, is Making Life Meaningful. You have readings, required readings, in your DB module, certain pages. It's not very thick, but I would suggest to you that during the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, attempt to see if you can read this. It will make a profound change in your mind. Really beautifully written book. Okay? Some other things has really helped me. My first book I ever bought 10 years ago was this Lam Rim Meditation. Has all of this meditation in it, and it tells you meditate like this. Think about this, now meditate like this. It's really a great tool. These are not expensive books. It's up to you, and this is not any kind of marketing for me. I'm just telling you what has helped me. Okay? And then obviously, you've seen this golden book many times when you come to Kadampa Center behind every chair. Sometimes just open and see the word preliminary practice, daily practice. What is it talking about? Kind of take a look at it. Get a little familiar with that whole routine. You know, what do you do in the morning? What do you do in between? What do you do afterwards? Just kind of look at it. Just be familiar with it. Get a little mind taming. Okay? So I will give you two things that I want you to go home and research it. And I want you to think about it, and maybe next class I'll ask you, somebody will give me an answer. Okay? Let's think about this word called five powers. See, you hear this, right? Six paramitas, three of this, three aspects of the path, five powers. And the why I tell you that when you're doing your reading, the advice from Lama Zopa Rinpoche, he mentions that, and it's there. But so that allows you to kind of go through it. So I want you to look at that. I want you to also think, what is a mandala offering? Besides a beautiful artwork on the ground with the sand and then they blow it away, what is a mandala offering? Why do we do that? What is a merit field? You know, we talk about merits all the time in a merit field. So maybe these three things for right now. I don't want to go much further than that. Five powers, mandala offering, and merit field.